Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Wayfinders Church podcast. Wayfinders Church, we want people to find life. We think that happens in Jesus himself, in a relationship with Jesus. And so as a community, we are committed to innovating paths that lead people to life, the capital L, that lead people to Jesus. And we are, first of all, Happy New Year. So excited that it's a new year. We have some great stuff lined up for the podcast and for our church this year. In fact, we are 1 month away from Launch Sunday, which is where we finally get the rhythm of all of the things we've been working on, serving and loving our community, with our city groups, which is kind of where spiritual change and magic happens, with our weekly weekend worship experiences. All of that kicks off into a regular routine every single week. We could not be more excited about it. We have one more preview left on January 22nd at 10 a.m. at the Kimbrough Building, Kyle Elementary School. We'd love to see you there if you're in the South Austin / San Marcos / Kyle Buda, anywhere around that area. So with that in mind, let's just jump right in, shall we? Of course we shall, because I'm controlling the show. So today, we are finishing up a three-part series called The Three Pillars. Dun, dun, dun. Three Pillars is really just an exploration of three specific passages that act kind of like guidestones or just cornerstone kind of thoughts about who we are, about who God is. And so we first explored that God is love. And we looked at 1 John chapter 4, and there's some passages in there that are mind-blowing. Like, for instance, no one has ever seen God, but when we love each other, God's presence is made complete. Are you kidding me? Come on. And then we looked at Galatians 5, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit and what life, love lived out looks like. It produces those things. And so today we're going to be looking at a passage that is one of the most often quoted, misquoted, one of the most well-known pieces of scripture, period. And it's called the love chapter. It's from 1 Corinthians 13. And next to John 3:16 and maybe the two parables of prodigal son and good Samaritan, this passage is the one that people know about. It's the one where it says, love patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. One version says, it does not want its own way. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It's the passage that says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Contained within this passage is a really, really cool exploration on its own, but when you put it in the context of where it is in the letter that Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians, it does even more. He just had finished talking about spiritual gifts and how as a community, as people who follow Christ, we are equal terms. Nobody's more important than anybody else outside of Jesus himself. And we all have different roles to play. We're all wired differently. We're all made differently. But on this one thing, we all come together on, and that's a way of living in the way of love. And then he says, let me show you the most excellent way. And then there's this like really, really eloquent expose on love in chapter 13. It's 13 verses, and it starts out with this passage that says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So already the imagery level is just soaking, you know, it's just super, super rich. And what does it mean to speak in the tongues of men or of angels? Well, he's talking about languages. Like, in other words, if I can be a translator and get people talking to each other, or even deeper, like on the next level of interpretation down, He's talking about, if I can speak to people and create relationship with them, but I don't create relationship, my eloquent speech, my charm, my charisma, the way that I operate, if it doesn't love, I'm just making noise with what I say. Ooh, wow. Now all of a sudden, he's elevating the importance of how we communicate with each other. That is huge. And then he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. In other words, let's say you're an economist that can predict futures and challenges for the world picture. Let's say you're a physicist and you can explain mysteries of the universe, or you're a doctor and you can, you know, you're house MD and you can diagnose the body better than anybody else. And let's say you even believe in the facts so wholeheartedly that you cling to them with faith that can move mountains. But you don't do what you do in love, then you're nothing. Check this one out. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship so that I can boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. In other words, it's not about your show or what people perceive your life to be. It's not even about the good things that you do. Love is deeper. It is a product of the heart. It is a condition, a posture. And when we operate from love, it changes the game. But when we don't, we gain nothing, we are nothing, we're just making noise with our lives. That's just the first three verses. And I'm not even trying that hard right now to unpack this. This is like, it's just liquid gold that's being poured out on pen. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This past week, I had to enter into a situation that was very difficult for me because I loved the person that I was sharing the information with, and I didn't know how they were going to take it. When you talk to people in love, when you explain the situation in love, even if people don't have empathy as a strong suit, when you produce it in love, it brings with it compassion. It swells compassion in the compassionless, because love goes beyond so many things. Now, for so many of us, love comes with all kinds of connotations, baggage, misunderstandings. The English understanding of love is very challenging, because we could say, oh, I love my wife, but I also love tacos. And I do. I love breakfast tacos. Especially. I love Torchy's tacos. That blackened salmon taco, like, yes, please. But I don't love Torchy's tacos the same way that I love Holly. Like, they're totally different. It's the same word, but it's nuanced and layered, and it comes with so many different things. And so in the Hebrew and in the Greek, in the scriptures, for instance, there's different words for love that mean different kinds of love. And I don't need to break into all of that right now. But what we do need to understand is that love is a posture that stands in the gap for people, that values people so high that it clouds the way that you see them and the way that you want to operate. In other words, you want to respect and honor, and you want to not boast in your own thing and not be self-serving. You want to rejoice when something good happens for someone else. You want to stand in the gap and fight for the people that cannot fight for themselves. That's when it says love is patient, it's kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. That's what he's getting at, that there is something deeper that happens in love. And remember, this is the essence of who God is. God is love. And it's very important that we need to understand that God is an infinitely compassionate, gracious, holy God who is ever merciful in his dealings with us. And the way he sees you and me is the way that he sees Jesus when he says, "That's my boy, and I'm proud of him, and he brings me great joy." Jesus is whispering that into his Father's ear on our behalf. And so listen to this with that in mind. Love never fails. And where there are prophecies, they will cease. They fall short. In other words, where we understand the world, man, I could have all the science and all of the facts, and it would still fall short. There would still be something missing. I could understand every language and be able to speak to every person, and it would still fall short. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And then he says this, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." It's interesting, part of this passage often gets read at funerals, the other part often at weddings. Love explains the mystery. Have you ever been asked the question, if you're married, why you love your spouse? How could you respond that? How could you possibly answer that? It's usually like, where do you want me to start? Let me count the ways. Like, and I can't, even if I wanted to, I would never be able to fully articulate what's going on in my soul. And so Paul here is picking up on what love is, on the character of who God is. In other words, there is a mystery to some of this that we can't understand outside of experiencing relationship. Let me say that again. There is a mystery to God and to faith and to this whole Christianity thing that cannot be explained outside of the confines of relationship. There is mystery in love. There is an ever-growingness of love. And if he says, in other words, out of all of reality, out of all the things that you could build or know or produce or, you know, all of reality, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So love is not only the essence of who God is, love is the essence of an elevated way of living, a higher plane of living. Some would even say it is the eternal way of living. Love lays down life for people. Love stands in the gap for people. Love wants to heal and restore. Love doesn't want to take. Love doesn't want to produce chaos or destruction. Love wants to bring about. And so, Maybe today you have been in a relationship and it was not loving. It was self-serving and destructive. Maybe today you are remembering some baggage because you walked into a church and they were not only judgmental, they hurt you. They were not loving. Maybe today, as you're hearing this, you're feeling the weight of regret, the strain of your own actions. I wasn't loving there. I wasn't compassionate there. I wasn't a hope dealer there. I wasn't insert whatever you have going on. The reason why this passage is a guiding passage for us is because it pulls up the complexity of love. I recently interviewed someone and they brought up a story of how last August we had a giant block party for the community. And this gentleman, he brought up this this comment. He said, "Why did you guys do that? And, why did you make this event for the community? And why did you make it free? And why this particular event?" And he couldn't ever come to terms with it. He couldn't understand why we would do it. And I just said, it's because we love people. And the first week of school is hard. You've spent tons of money on shoes and haircuts and school supplies. There was a new schedule that week, so nobody slept well. It was crazy. It was hectic. So why not do something great and fun with your family and give back? And go get some free cotton candy. Go get some free popcorn and go jump on the jumpy houses and go listen to the live music. Why not? Why not? Right? Because we love people. Love does weird things. But that's the point. Love does. It's sometimes highly mysterious. We don't always understand why we do what we do when we love. We just know we need to do it. But if you look at that passage, when it describes love, love is always active. It does, or it actively chooses not to do certain things. Love is active. It does. Love does. Which is incidentally also a great book by Bob Goff, Love Does. I'd highly recommend it. But today, maybe you're struggling with the idea of love. Maybe you don't even know if love is real. I want to end with this big truth. If love does, love is always a choice. Love is always a choice. And when you were a child, you wanted what you wanted, and if you didn't get your way, what did you do? You cried about it. You sulked about it. But when you grew, you put that away, and you changed your posture. I'm not saying that's an easy process, but I am saying that if you embrace love, if you begin to make the active choice to love and do what love is asking you to do, it will be an outright blessing. It will be a game changer. So if you're struggling with love, to love yourself or to love someone else, if you're struggling because you've experienced some things, don't pray captive to those experiences, but choose to open up your heart choose to have a posture that stands in the gap and is infinitely compassionate. When you do, you're going to find that at the end of life, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, the greatest legacy, the greatest impact, the greatest change, the thing that matters most, the thing that elevates your existence to that of God himself. You know, not making you God, but giving you that heavenly experience is love. And it's messy, but it's worth it. So, my friends, may you come to love deeply. May you come to make an active choice. May your posture be that of one that extends the infinitely complex, mysterious world of love. And may you find life. Much love.